Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus. Naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark drink, focus.com. Live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. I have this like nervous twitch, like I'm just very bouncy. Does that come through on the stream, like the camera that I just kind of bouncing around right now?
No.
Okay,
you're pretty calm, cool, and collected on the stream.
Because like I look at these other things, and I'm like, man, you know, like I don't ever see anybody else on TV that's just or streams or whatever that's just bouncing around.
Nah, they probably are. You just can't see it.
Just bouncing around here. So we started off the first, like, we talked about both games, the AFC NFC Championship, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, as a football fan, these have been some pretty good games. Like, they're exciting, they're down to the wire, they're overtime, they're field goals, there's everything. As a Titans fan, it has been excruciating. It was excruciating watching the Titans blow to the Bengals. It was excruciating watching the two quarterbacks in the Bills-Chiefs game. It was excruciating watching Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, two guys that, if the Titans had gotten to the Super Bowl, you knew they probably weren't going to beat. It was excruciating watching the Bengals win the AFC. And honestly, it was excruciating watching the team that went out and traded for the quarterback this offseason get to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a silver lining in what is clearly a copycat league? Everybody's trying to hire Bill Belichick's coordinators. And the reason that they're not trying to hire Andy Reid's is because Doug Peterson just got fired and Matt Nagy just got fired. And so when everybody's like, why does Eric Bieniemy not get a shot? It's because most people think Andy runs the offense in Kansas City and they don't want to go hire another Matt Nagy. Now, look, Belichick's assistants don't do much better and they still get hired. But I'm just saying, it's a very copycat league. So do we think that as painful as that for, I do wonder that I tweeted about this yesterday. What do you think John Robinson thought watching the AFC Championship game and watching Cincinnati win? And then what do you think he thought watching the Rams, who have never valued draft picks ever, get to the Super Bowl with Matthew Stafford at quarterback, pulling off an all-time stunning trade this time last year, when they decided to move off of their franchise quarterback, whom they gave the largest guaranteed contract money to in the history of the NFL? Because I know that I watched the first game and I thought, okay, well, that should be the Titans. Like, the Titans should be passing out AFC championship hats and t-shirts, and that it's because of one guy that they're not passing out AFC championship hats and t-shirts. I don't want to hear that Kari Blasingame dropped a pass in the first quarter. It's because of one guy. We all know that. I said I can't do 4 hours of Bash and Tannehill today, and I'm not going to. But we know why. Then you see the other team that had the stones to make the move, and they are going to the Super Bowl. Do you think that that's enough to get the Titans to say, maybe we need to play this like the Rams a little bit?
See, and that's the difficult thing, because it doesn't guarantee anything.
No, it does not.
But it is a wonderful look that this could be a blueprint to put ourselves in a really good position to compete for a Super
Bowl. Isn't it easier to talk yourself into it?
It is a lot easier, because it would be really difficult to advocate for the Titans to do something like that, a really bold move to go get an elite quarterback, if the Rams just crashed and burned this year, if Matthew Stafford was just god-awful this year, because you could look at that and say, well, it didn't work out for the Rams. And even though that wouldn't be a guarantee that that would happen for the Titans, it's a bad look. But to know that the Rams were willing to risk so much money and draft capital to move on from their quarterback, not knowing that Matthew Stafford would get them to a Super Bowl,
sure,
but just knowing that it would be something different. And they did.
I mean, they were a Jaquiski Tartt interception away from it not working.
But it did.
I hear
And
you.
Sometimes stars align.
I hear it. No, I agree. I would have made the move even if they had lost.
I would too, because I still believe that Ryan Tannehill can't get you to a Super Bowl. And Matthew Stafford's success in Los Angeles is completely independent of that.
Here's what Peter King wrote in the Monday Morning Quarterback. Quote, there was so much on the line for the Rams here, and it started 1 year ago last night when a Rams delegation, GM Les Snead, COO Kevin Dimoff, and VP of Football Administration Tony Pastores got on a Zoom call with a Lions delegation to work out details of a Goff for Stafford trade. Stafford quietly had gone to the Lions begging for his freedom. And I don't like, I think that that's Peter King, you know.
Begging for his freedom sounds dramatic.
Well, it's not so much that as much as I feel like it's revisionist history to say that it was quiet. We knew that he had asked for a trade.
Mm-hmm.
Like we talked, I mean, Ian, you remember this. We talked about, are the Colts going to go after Stafford?
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like it was a secret that Stafford wanted out. It was like at the end of the year after it was over, Stafford went to the Lions and said, hey, I'd like to move on. And they said, okay, yeah, we want you to move on too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they owed it to him. And honestly, I think they want to move on too. Like, I think they wanted to go eventually draft the new quarterback and have him lead the way. So again, they get on a Zoom call to work out the details of a Goff for Stafford trade. Stafford had quietly gone to the Lions begging for his freedom after 12 years of bad teams there. And the Lions quietly acceded to his request. And now it was a matter of finding a deal that worked out for both teams. McVay and Stafford and partners saw each other at a Mexican resort, and the men started talking football. And the next thing they knew, they wanted to be football wed. First of all, isn't that completely tampering?
I don't know where the line between tampering and a coincidence is, but it sounds like tampering.
Ian, does that not sound like tampering?
I mean, I guess tampering is just not all that not all that rare.
I mean, I don't think it's rare either, but I think if Peter King's reporting it, like, it becomes an issue. Remember the guy that that prayed?
Houston? Easterby?
Yeah, the Houston chaplain.
Yes,
yeah, yeah,
yes, Cal, yes.
They prayed together, he and Cal McNair.
Uh-huh.
And when he went back to New England to accept his ring, he talked to Caserio about being the general manager in Houston. And the Patriots filed tampering charges. And Caserio couldn't go to Houston for 2 years. And then as soon as Caserio's contract was up,
he went
right to Houston. So, like, this is tampering. But I guess nobody cares. Was it the truth that it was totally a coincidental meeting in Mexico? Totally unplanned? 100% Stafford reiterated. Okay, so we've already covered that.
I don't know.
So Vrabel and Russell are going to be at the Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But do you think the tie, like, I already wanted to move on from Tannehill before Evan McPherson kicked the Bengals into the Super Bowl. Even if the Chiefs had won 45-17, I would have wanted to move on from Tannehill. But does the fact that you really, truly, like, if you're a Titan fan, feel like you should be in the Super Bowl, and that Tannehill's the only reason why you're not, and if you see the Rams in there after what they were willing to do, and knowing that if you wait until after the draft, that it's really not that bad money-wise on the Tannehill for Russell swap.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that make you want to be there more? Like, doesn't that give you more reason? Like, the fact that it worked for them, that it almost gives you the CYA element of, you know what? It worked for them, so why not work for us? Ha ha!
I mean, I think it's a definite possibility. Because, I mean, you said it, and I agree, that no matter what would have happened, if the Bengals would have blown out the Chiefs would have blown out the Bengals, whatever may happen, it doesn't change the fact that Ryan Tannehill can't get this team to a Super Bowl, can't win this team a Super Bowl. But if you need some convincing, the blueprint is there for what the Titans could potentially do.
See, I believe that fortune favors the bold.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a situation like this. Jimmy Johnson pulled off the Herschel Walker trade, and everybody thought he was a dummy. And that was maybe the best trade the last 35 years in the NFL. I'm like, it's already worked. And you have the opportunity to tamper.
I have a question for you.
And one more thing.
Uh-huh.
I think Tannehill right now is a more respected quarterback around the league than Jared Goff was last year. Like, I think Seattle, if Russell were to say, we're not going back, we're done. Mm-hmm. Sierra and I are not coming back. And they're like, okay, we can't draft a quarterback because we have no picks. So we have to trade Russell to get picks. And then we have to get the right. I think Tannehill's a better quarterback, in their mind, going into week one of next year than anybody that they could go get right now. Like
probably
Ryan Fitzpatrick or Teddy Bridgewater or
Andy Dalton.
Any of those guys.
Yeah, probably so.
And you get 2 first-round picks with it?
Pretty good deal.
What do we think? Phones, 615-737-1025. Did Matthew Stafford's success and the Bengals' success, knowing that, like, you know the Titans should be in the Super Bowl, does that make going for it like the Rams did more of a possibility? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your thoughts on that. Also, I do want to know, you know, Joe's got his off-season to-do list at The Athletic. Not a bad thing. It's hard for me to get there. I'll explain why next. 615-737-1025 here on the program. TriStar Moving. My official movers, I moved with TriStar in 2020, and it was fantastic. Now, again, I am not looking to move anytime soon because I like where I live, but if I did, my first call would be to TriStar Moving. Their owners, Garrett and Robert, they have made this company about their hometown, Nashville, and that's why it's TriStar Moving, but five-star service. And that is their motto. They took care of everything when I moved, and they are always upping the game when it comes to mover training. Everything was taken care of, all due to the high standard they hold. And if you're looking to move, give my friends at TriStar Moving a call, 615-640-1219, or visit their website at nationalmoving.org/radio, where they'll give you 5% off your entire move. That's TriStar Moving, 615-640-1219, nationalmoving.org/radio. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you for 5% off your entire move. TriStar Moving. My official movers.
Stafford end zone cup. He's got it. Touchdown Rams.
So I think there's a belief that you have to have this great quarterback in order to win in the NFL. Like the elite of the elite, right? Brady, Rodgers, you know. How many guys right now are out there that you would say are like, like elite quarterbacks in the NFL? Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, Allen.
Uh-huh.
Jackson.
Would you call him elite? I don't know if I'm elite with Lamar.
I mean, 2 years ago he was a league MVP.
Yeah.
I feel like he carries that entire team.
Yeah, you could definitely make the argument.
I mean, Ian, do you think that Lamar is an elite quarterback?
That is a tough one. If he's not tier one, he's tier two.
Okay.
That's fair.
So, Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, Allen, mm-hmm. Joe Burrow.
I would probably put him in the same tier with Lamar Jackson.
Okay, well, I think Joe Burrow's elite. So let's put Joe and Lamar both. I mean, Lamar's okay. A league MVP.
Russell.
Like, if Russell's not going downhill, Russell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's not a lot of those guys out there.
No.
Right? And I say this because you don't have to have that guy. You just can't have the other guy in the game, Garoppolo. Like, you can't have Garoppolo, you can't have Cousins, you can't have Tannehill, you can't have Wentz, you can't have any of those guys. But if you have somebody, like, in between those two guys, I think you got a shot.
In like between Herbert. Being Herbert, Stafford.
Stafford.
Uh-huh.
Herbert. You know, like, that's where I feel like that's the NFL.
Really good, solid quarterbacks. Not elite.
Yes. But solid. Not Jameis Winston.
Right. They don't throw four interceptions a game.
Right. So that is, and I think Stafford's the poster child for that. I think it was Dan Orlovsky who's obsessed with Stafford because they were teammates together in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Orlovsky came out and said that if Stafford wins the Super Bowl, he's going to the Hall of Fame. I'm not sure like I really believe that.
I'm not there yet. I think I heard D-May saying that today as well. I don't know if I'm there.
I'm not sure I really believe that. Maybe. I mean, this like the pure stats
his
were
numbers.
So gaudy from when he had Calvin Johnson, uh-huh. And they never won anything. Like, I have a hard time getting on board with the idea. Then again, Warren Moon's in the Hall of Fame and Kurt Warner's in the Hall of Fame, so maybe whatever. But that's what you have to have. You just have to have better than what you have now. That's it. That's it. It's not you have to have great. You don't have to have great. You don't have to have a Hall of Fame. You don't have to have Brady. But, like, Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
And Dak drives me crazy. And I think he's got bad coaching. But, I mean, like, I think you can win with that. And so I think if there is a Stafford or better level guy out there, which I think is Russell Wilson, then I think you have to make that move. That's just me. Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
One texter checks in and says, quit saying the Titans should be in the Super Bowl. They lost, so they're probably excluded from the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but the Titans should be in the Super Bowl. The Titans lost in 2000, and they should have won that Super Bowl. I mean, I think that there's a difference between, like, the year that the Titans went to New England with Mariota and lost 35-14, and that team had no business playing on that field with the Patriots. That team was never going to compete for the championship. That team was never that good. This team went into a playoff game against the eventual AFC champions at home, had 9 sacks, and lost because the quarterback threw 3 horrendous interceptions. They're not there because of one guy. That's like Scott Norwood, who missed the field goal against the Giants in the Super Bowl when he was at Buffalo. I think it was the 91 Super Bowl. And, you know, the wide right. And it's like, if he makes the kick, the Bills are champions. If he misses the kick, the Bills lose. Well, no disrespect to Scott Norwood, but he's why they lost. Tannehill is why they lost. And I could be wrong. I said it to open the show. I think the Titans would have smoked Kansas City at Nissan Stadium yesterday. Smoked them. I don't think this Kansas City team is nearly as good as the ones in the past. I don't think that the Titans were, take where the Titans and the Chiefs were 2 years ago in the AFC title game. And if you're looking at the stream, I'm moving my hands like in kind of like, you know, bar graph notion. Let's say that the Chiefs are up here.
Mm-hmm.
The Titans were kind of, you know, here. And then all of a sudden, okay, now let's move home field advantage out of it. So it kind of moves them
starts
closer
to
together.
Level.
And then let's say, well, wait a minute, you know, Sammy Watkins, who killed the Titans in that game, is not there. The Titans' defense is much better, especially the pass rush. So all of a sudden, it starts to just completely shift it. I think the Titans would have smoked. I think the Titans would have smoked Kansas City yesterday. And that's just my opinion.
Smoked, I think, is a little
smoked.
Much. I don't think they would have smoked them.
I think they would have smoked them. I think they would have come in here. And I thought this before the last drive of the Cincinnati game. So the Titans get the ball back and force a punt with like 2:45 and 3 timeouts to go. And I'm like, if Tannehill can just pull this out of his ass, just one drive, it's all I need. You know, one drive where, you know, sometimes you get lucky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like one drive where they call the screen at the right time and Dontrell Hilliard takes it down to the Bengal 36. And now it's like, okay, put the big boys in there and feed it to Henry or feed it to Foreman and run the football and make Cincy use their timeouts and kick your field goal and put your 9-sack defense back on the field. If I can get one drive, you win the game.
Mm-hmm.
You come out of the game, 2 terrible interceptions by Tannehill, you win 19-16, everybody would have been dogging Tannehill. They'd have been like, now that defense got 9 sacks, but Tannehill looked terrible. I mean, he can't throw the ball. He throws the ball right to the other guy. Would have been a whole week of just dumping on Tannehill, right?
Yes.
Everybody picking Kansas City to win by 15 after what they saw the week before. Kansas City would have been cocky. They would have been arrogant. They would have been not this complete team that they are. Oh, my God, the Titans was. But, again, that's just me.
I would just have a hard time going from, let's say that if the Titans did beat the Bengals in spite of Ryan Tannehill's 3 interceptions, who's to say Ryan Tannehill's not going to turn around and have a similar performance against the Chiefs?
He wouldn't. He threw a terrible interception in the first Chiefs game. They still blew him out.
But 3?
He threw a ball right over the middle of the linebacker.
3?
He's not going to throw 3.
Well, he did against the Bengals.
Right. But the Chiefs. I'm saying I think they would have smoked them. And the Titans, when they're playing teams they think are elite, they play better.
That is true.
Like,
I mean, they showed out against the Rams, the Chiefs.
I think, and this is a Vrabel thing, the pressure of being the favorite cripples the Titans. And maybe it's Vrabel, maybe it's Tannehill. You know, when Tannehill has nothing to lose, Tannehill goes out there and plays great. When Tannehill has something to lose, you know, he goes from Michael Jordan to Montel Jordan. I don't know. Let's go to Lance. Who's up next here on Stillman & Company? Thank you for calling on Stafford's almost near interception at the end of the game yesterday. Go ahead, Lance.
That's what I was going to bring up, that we wouldn't be having this discussion about how great Matthew Stafford is. He's kind of like Brett Favre in a way. He throws that one crazy errant pass, and if that guy would have caught, I can't remember the defender, but if he would have just caught that ball, end of game, and the 49ers are Super Bowl bound.
Okay, so I appreciate your call. I think that's a fair point.
Mm-hmm.
Stafford laid the ball into the hands of Jaquiski Tartt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he dropped it. Let's take aside the fact that he, in fact, did not catch that, and that they are going to the Super Bowl, because people will say, well, you know, if it wasn't for that Final Four run, then that basketball, he did go to the Final Four. But let's take that aside. I would still be in favor of making the move. I would point to Stafford as, like, evidence that you can do this. And maybe I'm crazy for thinking that.
Oh, I would still, because I made up my mind a long time ago, not a long time ago, the day that the Titans hosted the Bengals about
8 days ago.
Yes, about a week ago, that Ryan Tannehill couldn't win a Super Bowl with the Titans. So once you make up your mind, you're ready to make a move. And you're ready to make a bold move. And we laid out different ways that the Titans could replace Ryan Tannehill either immediately or in the future. But I think that Matthew Stafford winning that game and getting his team to a Super Bowl is just a way to be like, look, see, mm-hmm. It's convincing people who aren't ready to make that change, who aren't willing to deal the first round picks, the ones who say it's not worth it, it might not work here. I point to Matthew Stafford and say it did. Even if he didn't take him to the Super Bowl, even if it ended in the NFC Championship, I would still say it worked.
Did you think Jimmy sucked yesterday?
I don't think he was absolutely atrocious. I don't think he was a dumpster fire. But it wasn't anything that I'm going to write home about.
So I watched like 5 Jimmy games, mm-hmm. right, this year. So I watched regular season Titans, regular season Bengals, postseason Cowboys, postseason Packers, postseason Rams. I've seen 5 full Jimmy Garoppolo games. I think they can give you a feel on whether or not a guy's any good. Mm-hmm. When you watch him 5 times, I think Jimmy's terrible. Like, I'd rather have Kirk Cousins than Jimmy. I'd rather have Baker Mayfield than Jimmy. Now, I didn't watch 5 Baker games this year. But, like, I really think Garoppolo's awful. And I think that there would have been so many people screaming from the mountaintop if San Francisco had carried Jimmy to the finish line yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been like, see, Jimmy can do it. And if Jimmy can do it, anybody can do it. But remember, like, when Vrabel talked about being great around Tannehill?
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like the 49ers are truly a great team around Jimmy Garoppolo. They got 3 just tough-as-nails receivers that all have speed, except for Jennings, who is just a great, you know, possession receiver.
Dog, yeah.
Kittle. They've got the best left tackle in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I think their defense is just suffocating. The middle linebacker, Fred Warner, I tweeted this out yesterday, he's like Jeffrey Simmons in middle linebacker form. Like, they're awesome. And Jimmy couldn't get more than 615-737-1025. We'll get back to your phones. Plus, D. Mace had something very interesting that he said today that I do want to touch on a little bit, so we'll get into that as well. 615-737-1025. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And I've also got a Sean McVay thing that I got to get off my chest. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Hiller has extended their lower 2021 pricing through all of January to help customers tackle necessary replacements. And there was so much demand that they are now extending this special pricing for 1 more month. This will be the lowest pricing expected all year. You've noticed all the inventory shortages and empty shelves everywhere, and now there are serious shortages on equipment and products for your home. HVAC systems, tankless water heaters, and generators are going to be extremely limited in 2022. Because the supply issues and rising costs of parts, manufacturers are rapidly increasing the price of this equipment. If you need a replacement, call my friends at Hiller today. Don't wait until you are out of options. Hiller's work is backed by the Happy You'll Be or Services Free Guarantee, and you can learn more at happyhiller.com. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They take great care of my home. I promise they can do the same for you. Proud supporters of the National Predators, Tennessee Volunteers, and Vanderbilt Commodores. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
We are in a media, a local media scolding season where they come out and say, no, don't wish for better. Don't expect better from this team that could have won a Super Bowl. You guys, you take your vegetables and you eat it, and you eat all those vegetables, because there is no way you're going to get what you want, because there is no way that Ryan Tannehill is not going to be the quarterback of this team. I hate that more than anything when media gets on this lecture circuit. with fans who help pay their salaries and tell them what they can't do. What's wrong with someone saying the Titans and John Robinson should be doing everything possible to upgrade every position, and the top position you must upgrade is quarterback. So they should be trying everything to make sure they are in the best possible position at quarterback. There's nothing wrong with that.
There you go. That was Chad Withrow, Outkick 360 on our show Friday. And again, it's so funny. I don't hear anybody who covers this team like even think it's a possibility that the Titans will move on from Tannehill.
I don't think no one is saying that.
No. Like the daily scribes that are there on a daily basis.
That's what it seems like.
Joe?
Joe thinks it's not an option.
I can't really determine TD's spot on this. I kind of feel like TD thinks they may be handcuffed, but I do think TD thinks they need to do it.
Well, TD saying that the Titans have reached their ceiling with Ryan Tannehill tells me all I need to know.
Okay. Kaharsky says they can't do it.
Right.
Teresa Walker says they can't do it.
What does Gentry say?
Oh, I'm sure he thinks they can't do it.
I don't know.
I busted his ass yesterday. He wrote the worst column, which we're going to talk about tomorrow, about Philip Forsberg. Like, it was such. And when I say worst, I don't mean like worst journalistically. I mean like the opinion was just so bad. I was at the breakfast buffet in Louisville yesterday at the hotel. I'm sitting there eating my omelet, and I'm reading Gentry Estes's column on Philip Forsberg, and I literally like went right to my. I'm like, Gentry, this might be the worst column I've ever. So,
oh no, did it ruin your omelet?
No, omelet was fantastic.
Oh, good. So, I'm glad.
The guy in front of me at the omelet station got an egg white omelet with all the veggies except for jalapenos and cheddar cheese, and I was like, I should probably do the same thing here.
But you didn't, did you?
I did regular eggs instead of the egg whites.
Egg whites are gross anyways.
But I did all the vegetables except for. So it was like, it was spinach and mushroom and peppers, and it was so good.
I'm glad that Gentry Estes didn't ruin your breakfast.
No, he did not. But, I mean, I think Gentry is like, they can't move Tannehill. And because of that, I get all the tweets and all the texts that are like, can't do it. Look at the cap, Jared. I'm like, first of all, I've been explaining the cap to you. Like, I understand the cap more than the average fan. I understand that if you trade post June 1st, that it is significantly different than if you release before June 1st. Significantly. And I've tried to explain it. I think sometimes people just don't want to listen. But I do think Chad's right about the local media, which is I feel like a lot of people that cover the team are like, eat your vegetables. Ryan Tannehill has to be your quarterback.
That's what we're stuck with. And I feel like a lot of fans, I get it, like, you know, we're stuck with Ryan Tannehill, so don't even entertain the idea. Don't even think about anything else. Even if they don't even really believe that Ryan Tannehill can get this team to a Super Bowl, they're like, you got to deal with it. Which I think is a very strange perception.
Now I want to launch into Gentry's column on Philip Forsberg right now. It's the Monday after the AFC and NFC Championship game. So tomorrow, when we are at Bridgestone Arena, we will be getting worked up about Gentry's column.
Oh,
just
good.
Know that.
Good. I'll do my homework.
TD, for the record, Teron Davenport has texted me. I've said multiple times that they can get out of the Tannehill business, but it will be difficult. Okay. I mean, people.
I think that's the truth. It would be difficult. We never said it wouldn't hurt.
What the Rams did to get where they are today is difficult. General managers do not like, even their general manager, and he really doesn't like picks. But general managers do not like giving up. The Rams next year do not have a first-round pick, second-round pick, or third-round pick, I do not believe.
That is so crazy.
Because they traded their second and third for Von Miller. Mm-hmm. But unlike the Titans, who were too stupid to get Atlanta to eat all the Julio Jones money, the Broncos ate all the Von Miller money.
And took the picks.
Here's Von Miller, second and third-round pick. And that's where that is.
It does stress me out not having any picks, though. Like, the way the Rams approach trades stresses me out.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't love it.
No.
But I also think where you are right now with your team, you've put yourself in a position where you have to do something that will be painful.
I also don't love Ryan Tannehill more.
Right, in order to get out of the Tannehill business.
Yes.
Like, this would be a lot easier if with the fifth pick in 2017, you knew Mariota wasn't going to pan out, so you didn't draft him, and instead you drafted Patrick Mahomes, and now you don't have to worry about any of it.
But that doesn't work that way.
But you did. So this is where you are. Let's go to your phone. Oh, I do want to play this from D. Mace. So, Derek Mason on the Midday Show today. So, Willie It was funny because I was listening to Willie and Darren. Willie is still not convinced that you can't win with Tannehill. Let's just kick this around the room first. Do you think they can win with Tannehill?
No.
Ian?
Unlikely.
Okay, so 3 of 3 say no here. Mm-hmm. Darren and D-Mace say no. Willie thinks you still can win with Tannehill because Vrabel said that, you know, hey, they just have to be great around him.
And Vrabel said that he's tough?
Well, but again, with a $38 million cap hit, I don't know how you can be great around somebody. This is what Derek said on the Midday Show today.
We just said they can't win a Super Bowl with Ryan.
I'm not saying that. You guys are saying that, if that's what you're saying. I don't know if A.J. Brown is saying
Well, the head coach said it.
He didn't say that. He said you've got to have a great team around Ryan Tannehill.
Okay, Willie. Which means if everything's not perfect, Ryan's not going to win us a Super Bowl. He's just not going to do it. So everybody needs to be great. And what did I say last week? That's just not going to happen. In other words, he's saying Ryan's really not our guy, but we stuck with him.
Do you think that?
I don't think the Titans are stuck with him.
But do you think that the Titans know that? Because that's what matters. I mean, that's what
how
matters.
How do you not? And I know that's easy for me to say, sitting in this position and not in a position of power, but
people
how
who
do you
cover
not?
The team won't say that. Mike Tannenbaum. I mean, Mike Tannenbaum. Oh, yeah, guys, I just think it's a good player had a bad day.
But how many bad days do you get?
With Tannenbaum?
A lot.
Infinite. That's why Tannenbaum is working on ESPN calling into our radio show.
I have higher standards.
Clearly.
I mean, asking for you to not turn the ball over 3 times in a playoff game, I feel like is a pretty fair expectation, is a pretty fair standard.
Let's go to James, who's up next here on Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025. Thank you for waiting, James. You go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I love listening to y'all.
Thank you.
I hadn't been able to listen over the past week plus because I've got one of the worst sports hangovers ever. I was actually in the building, you know, up in 3:30, letting Tannehill have it. I don't believe that we can win a Super Bowl with him. I mean, play calling aside, guy cannot look straight at a receiver and throw it, you know, dead at the dude, not look anybody off, you know, all the things we said. Jared, I never agree with, like, anything you say, like, at all, ever. But I actually love this Russell Wilson trade.
Sure.
Think about this. Let's take it another step further. What does that do for the window, right? Like, gives us, like, a good 2 to 3 year window, I feel like, to actually fulfill this thing. And yeah, we should be trying to upgrade our team. We got one of the best defenses in the league. You know, we can't waste that. And that was beyond being like totally hurt and irritated listening to that Houdet chant walking out of the stadium. That was the first thing
James,
I thought. Like,
I hear you. James, I appreciate your call. I mean, this is going to sound crazy. I think when you're like a team like the Rams or the Titans or Tampa Bay, Green Bay, Dallas, Kansas City, do you really even think about windows? Like, do you really think about your window, or do you just think about that season? Right? Like, so the Rams have gone all in for this season. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason they've done it is because they're hosting the Super Bowl. Like, I think that's what Stan Kroenke wants, the owner, is to be playing in their building for the Super Bowl, do whatever it takes.
He's also the worst.
He is the worst. But you're from St. Louis, so that's
yeah, but he's still the worst.
I mean, I'm kind of the belief that next year, go all in. Like, I mean, all in. Not, because I remember when the Predators traded a first-round pick for Ryan Hartman, and people were like, they're going all in. And I'm like, that's not all in. That's just stupid. Like, that's just adding a fringe player for a first-round pick, and again, that's stupid. They're now Von Miller for a second and third-round pick. Now you've already dealt your first.
Mm-hmm.
That's all in.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of there with the Titans, which is what you have right now is not good enough to win the Super Bowl. It's not good enough to get you there. You are going to have to go through a conference that has Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers.
Like, it ain't gonna happen. Not going to happen. 615-737-1025. We're back to your phones next. And I do have a thought from the NFC title game that I want to get to, so we will do that coming up next as well. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company. We're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
Okay, you know, first of all, so much respect for the 49ers. It's a great team. Coach Shannon does an excellent job. They're tough. They're physical. They fight till the end. It took everything we had, but I'm just so proud of our group, so proud of our players, our coaches, just proud to be associated with these guys. There's so many special men in that locker room, and love this team. We got one more, but today was a great sign of the resilience.
There you go. The boy wonder, Sean McVay, back in his second Super Bowl. I have so many mixed feelings about Sean McVay.
Why?
Well, he got to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff, which is pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And also
Todd Gurley.
Clearly, he's a great play caller. You know what I mean? Those throws he had, that little tight end that looked like a wide receiver yesterday,
mm-hmm.
86,
yeah.
Who looked like he was like 30 pounds too small to be a tight end, but all their tight ends were out. And so they kept throwing those screens to the tight ends, and that guy kept gaining 25 yards every time they did it. Brilliant. And I can't really judge like a play caller, which is why I don't jump in with all you guys on Todd Downing. Now, look, am I a huge Downing guy? Probably not. But I'm not like, you know, I don't think that he should be run out of town like everybody else does. Maybe he should. I don't know. I have no idea.
Did you not want to say last week that he should be fired?
No. I said last week that I thought they were going to use him as the scapegoat for why Tannehill regressed.
Do you think he should be fired?
I don't know. How am I supposed to know? How are you supposed to, how do you know? Like, nobody, people that just sit there like, play caller's terrible. I mean, like, you don't even know how plays are called.
Continue.
I mean, it's just ridiculous. And so when people tell me that somebody's a great play caller, I mean, like, Mike Martz was supposedly a great play caller, was he? But then all of a sudden, the greatest show on turf, Marshall Faulk, those guys got older, you know, guys left, and then they weren't very good anymore. I guess he wasn't that good, was he? Mike Martz went and called plays other places. They weren't very good. So, I mean, Byron Leftwich, everybody loves Byron Leftwich. What did Byron Leftwich do with Jameis Winston at quarterback? Oh, yeah, nothing. Okay, all right. Well, let's see how McDaniels does with the Raiders. Let's see if that's any better than his unmitigated disaster in Denver. But now you got me on a whole different thing. But this is exactly my point. Like, I think McVay's probably a good offensive play caller. He got to the Super Bowl with Jared Goff, programmed him like a robot, realized he wasn't any good, moved off of him, brings in guys like Odell Beckham, makes it work, whatever. But did anybody watch his actual coaching of the game yesterday? I mean, his usage of the challenge flag yesterday and his timeouts were just epic, gross mismanagement.
The timeout management is questionable.
I mean, like, when you're head coach, because this is what football's turned into, and I'm glad Vrabel's not one of these guys, but football has basically turned into, let's farm out the game. So I'm an offensive coach, so I go hire a defensive coach who does defense, I do offense, and I go sit down on the bench with the quarterback and the iPad when the defense is on the field, and I'm sitting there talking to the quarterback. Now, you see this right here when the guy cuts in and they do that? Like, hey, throw the flag. You got to see it. I mean, yesterday, and I don't want to sound like Vrabel, because we used to ask Vrabel, or the media used to ask Vrabel all the time, like, why didn't you challenge this? Why'd you? Oh, yeah, they're not going to change these guys. Why would I throw the flag? I saw the Stafford sneak in Lifetime. I didn't think Stafford got it. And I see all the Rams players are looking at him like, throw it, throw it. And he's standing there and he's like, And I'm like, you don't have any timeouts left. You're trailing in the fourth quarter. This is your last challenge. Like, what are you doing? No. That was, I think, the first challenge. I'm like, what are you doing? They're not going to overturn a sneak. Because there's no camera that can get in there anyways to see all the big bodies unless it's just a grossly blatant bad one. And that's where you got to have your guys being like, I don't think so, Sean. We can't challenge it. But he wanted to. And you could see him with the flag and his hands on the sidelines. Like, he wanted to. He didn't realize how big the timeout was and everything else. Then the second one, they stopped the Niners on third and two. The Niners run the ball, and they wanted to see if it was a fumble. And he threw the flag. And they show the replay. The guy was down twice. So instead of fourth and two, where they're punting to you anyways, and they weren't going to put Jimmy on the field to run a fourth and two. Not after he screwed it up against Dallas when they didn't let the tackle get set. So they're punting on fourth and two, and you throw the challenge flag, lose your last challenge, lose your timeout on a play that you had to look at one replay from Fox to say, oh yeah, now he's down. And he threw the flag anyways. That is poor coaching. I mean, just horrible. You're getting the ball anyways. The difference there is like 20 yards. So you got a chance at 20 yards. The ramifications are you lose your timeout, you lose your challenge, and all you get is 20 yards in field position. And he did it anyways. Oh my God, that was awful. Oh, it was awful. And those are the things that get you beat. Now, it won't get you beat against Jimmy Garoppolo, but it'll get you beat, get somebody better. That'll get you beat. And so I just, you know, he pooped his pants in the Super Bowl against Belichick. And I saw that yesterday, and I was like, oh, my God. And I'm like, if they win this game, it's like the 49ers-Dallas game, where nobody gave Jimmy or Shanahan any blame for their mistakes that allowed Dallas back into the game. And nobody talked about it. And
because it was
like
overshadowed by Dallas's mistakes.
Or it's just we live in a society where if you win, everything is forgiven.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed that.
Oh. I mean, Garoppolo was terrible in the playoffs this year. And people are like, hey, Jimmy proved that he's going to. Okay, yeah, you do that. Good luck to you, Raiders. You're going to go hire Josh McDaniels. He's going to ship Derek Carr out of there just like he shipped out Jay Cutler in Denver. Though I'm not a huge Cutler guy. Ships out Cutler. Brings in Tebow because he wanted Matt Castle. He's going to bring in Jimmy. They're going to sign him. You know, good luck to you. Let's go back to your phones. Bill is up next here on Going All In. Thank you for calling the show. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, guys. It's amazing that McVay's done as well as he's done being as stupid as he is, huh?
Sometimes. I don't know how they do it in this league.
Oh, man, he's young, dude. I think he's got some growth to do. I think he's got a pretty good start to his career. But, you know, a few years ago, people were saying the same thing about the Rams when they traded for Marcus Peters and they brought in Aqib Talib and they signed Sue. And people were saying, oh, well, the Rams, after this year, they're screwed. But, man, they just keep on finding ways to bring guys in and they, you know, haven't won a Super Bowl yet and they may not win this one. But they're always trying, McVay and Snead are always trying to bring players in that are ready to help you now. They draft guys on the back end, they're, you know, role players and all that kind of stuff. But, man, they're trying to bring stars in, and it's working. You know, this all-in with Stafford thing, man, they unloaded Goff's contract. Goff, that not only did they get rid of Goff, they got rid of his contract. They give up, you know, a first-round pick. I mean, and look at Stafford, man. He is, like I said, he may not win the Super Bowl, but is he a major upgrade over Goff or what? I mean, and, you know, does that mean next year?
They didn't get rid of Goff's contract. They're still paying $24 million against the cap this year for Jimmy.
They unloaded. They ain't got to pay for him after this year. Would you rather have Goff or Stafford? The proof's in the pudding, man. Goff was a turnover waiting to happen.
I hear you, Bill. Bill, I appreciate your call. I do agree with the gist of that call. That is, I mean, like, I sit here, and when they made the Julio Jones trade, I was like, oh, the salary cap and all that. I kind of think the Rams are proving that the cap is kind of bull crap.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, we've already gone over multiple ways to get out of this Tannehill contract, which the Titans should have never been in the situation they're in now. But there's ways to do it.
It also amazes me that the Chiefs have room in their cap to pay all of those guys every year.
It's like, here comes a new contract for Travis Kelce. It'll make him the highest paid tight end in the history of the NFL. And here's this, and here...
Patrick Mahomes, massive contract.
And it's like they just kick it on down, kick it on down, kick mm-hmm. it on down. And you can sit there and say, like, well, you know, eventually you have to pay for it, and eventually it comes to roost. And Like, what did the Rams not get this year that they could have had with $24 million extra dollars in cap? I'm sure there's something that they didn't have, but I don't look at the Rams roster and think, man, they really want for players.
Mm-hmm.
So it does make me think that the armchair GMing of the not totally accurate salary cap websites are maybe doing a disservice to people's understanding of what's real and what's not. Because I do think with the Rams, like, they just go get whoever they want every year. Just every year.
And they're willing to deal picks for it.
Every year, they get whoever they want. Think about all the picks they give up to the Titans. They give up all those picks for Jared Goff. The Titans have been to the playoffs in large part thanks to that trade, what, 4 out of the last 5 years? Is that, I think that's right. Vrabel's first year they didn't go. He's been 3. Mularkey went once. So they went 4 out of 5 years a year after the Goff trade. I think the Rams have been 4 out of 5 years, but they've been to 2 Super Bowls, and you've been to 0 Super Bowls. Now, in fairness, you played in the conference with Tom Brady, and they didn't play in the conference with Tom Brady. Now that they're playing in the conference with Tom Brady, makes it a little bit more difficult. See last year. But I still think, like, that the way the Rams do business and the way you do business, I think you can start doing a little bit more like the Rams. And I was not a fan of this stuff. So I do think the caller has a point there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We will get back to your calls and your texts here on the program. And by the way, can I just say the opening of that call where it's like, oh, man, I think McVay's doing pretty good, huh? Like, that's my whole point. Guy can totally butcher the end of a game strategically, but it's like, hey, he wants, who cares?
He's going to the Super Bowl, so it
he
doesn't matter.
He wants, so who cares? Who cares?
Super Bowl heals everything.
Oh, man. It's like Tannehill had those bad games. We talk about, oh, Jared, they won. Okay, fine. Whatever. Coming up next, for Titan fans, I think yesterday had to be really hard. How do you think John Robinson felt about it? We'll discuss next. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.